Can you all hear me okay? What? So can I steal one of these stands up here? All right. Looks like this one's not being used. Thank you.
You want that stool as well?
No, I'm good. As long as that holds my big Bible here. No, it's about right. Turn it down a little bit. All right. Well, it's good to be here again. Been like a month, I guess, but I went and met with your Bible study the other day and then went to the pizza place. I mean, what's wrong with you guys? You should all be at the pizza place. Oh, that's great. It's fun to fellowship with you guys and get to know some of you a little bit better and all of that. And you guys got a lot of good stuff going on here. The Bible study, there's a men's Bible study, there's a women's Bible study, and then you have these different things that you all do. I commend you guys for doing that. That's not easy, especially in a small group, but that's good. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for these folks here. I appreciate, Lord, all they're doing for you. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless this body, that you would fill this church with your people, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'd just help them to keep on keeping on. It's not easy all the time. But Lord, we know that you're going to take care of them and watch over them and help them. So help them to rebuild this congregation here, Lord. I pray you'd give them the strength and the power to do your will, Lord. Lord, we ask this morning and as we get into your word that you would just touch our hearts, Lord. Help us to hear, help us to see, help us to understand. Lord, help us to put it into practice in our lives. So we praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I need a volunteer. Would you mind helping me? It's not a big thing. I might ask you a question or two, but I just want to use you for an example. I won't embarrass you. Well, I hope I don't embarrass you. Just coming up here sometimes can embarrass people. So what's your name?
Sam.
Sam? All right, cool. So I want you to take a look at Sam this morning. Just a nice, trim, good-looking specimen, right? Nice, flat stomach here. he's probably got more muscles than I got. When you get old, I don't know what happens to us. But then take a look at me. So here I am, my big fat belly. Sam, you were little once, but as you grew, you kept getting taller and taller, right? So are you taller than your dad?
Almost.
So did your folks or your grandparents, did you ever go to their place and they'd have you back up against the wall, like in a doorway or something, and then they put a deal up here and kind of keep track of how you're growing? Most of us have done that, right? We know what that is. So he's growing up, and I'm growing out, and I've shrank like an inch and a half to 2 inches. I mean, I can't believe it. My back must be just compressing. Okay, so I want to ask you one question, and I think you've kind of already answered it. Do you want to get bigger than your dad, taller than your dad, or your mom?
I kind of want to be the same height.
You want to be the same height, okay. Most of us would have answered that question by saying, yes, I want to get bigger than my dad. I want to be taller, or my mom, whichever one's the tallest. We want to be taller than them.
I kind of want to.
You kind of want to? Okay, thanks. Thank you. I'll let you go sit down. Thank you for doing that. Most of us want to be taller than our parents. I don't know why. But I, too, remember going to my grandma's place and backing up against the thing and her marking how tall. And sometimes, man, you'll grow several inches sometimes, before you get back. But as we get older, you start looking more like me. He had a big belly on us, and I don't know what, our muscles all leave for, and stuff. But there was one girl, young gal, that I remember when we were going to church at Addie. She had a saying, she was joking around, you know. She said, "My dad is a balanced person." He said, she said, "His bubble's in the middle." But anyway, today I want to talk to us about growth, but not physical growth. I want us to talk about spiritual growth. And so we're going to be going to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. But, well, I'll give you a little background of that first. I'm going to kind of take a little... I had a hard time figuring out what kind of order this should be in. But bear with me this morning. I want to give a little bit of background first about 1 Peter. And it's not going to be about the whole book, but it'll be a little bit about the book, but then I'll only go up to about the second chapter, because that's where we're going to be talking out of today. But 1 Peter is one of the general letters. You know, Paul wrote to a lot of the churches, and those were specific letters to specific churches. But this letter is more of a general letter that went to the scattered churches throughout Asia Minor. And he wanted, you know, so it wasn't for a specific church. It's more written for to be read in a lot of different churches. And he wanted to encourage them. And the leading topics were the privilege of believers and following the example of Christ, and also to have victory in the midst of trials and to live holy lives in an unholy world. One of the key words is suffering, and it occurs more than 15 times in this letter. The author is Peter. It was written in the latter part of his life. It was written to Christians, both Jews and Gentiles, to the churches, most of them were founded by Paul. It's a spiritual message of encouragement, instruction, and admonition. And its purpose was kind of twofold. So Peter had kind of been given two specific commands from Jesus over time, but the first one was in Luke 22:32. And he was told to encourage and strengthen the brothers. And then in John 21:15 through 17, he was told to feed the flock of God. Okay? So it was written again, that calls them in 1 Peter, it calls them the God's elect, those who have accepted Christ, in other words, to the Christians. And in chapter 2 is where we're going to be talking in a little bit. It uses that word therefore, and I think when I was here before, the scripture I used had that same word that called therefore, which means you need to go back and kind of look what's before that. And this one starts out kind of that way too. In chapter 1, it talked about the new birth into a living hope through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Moving on down a little bit, in verse 13, it then talks about a holy living. And then on down a little farther, in verse 23, it talks about being born again. So our message today is going to be about growing spiritually. But I got to thinking about that, and I'm like, so where does it start? And I just remember when, before I came to Christ, two of my friends had come to the Lord, and I started seeing, well, first off, I told my wife, yeah, we'll see how long this lasts, you know. You know how that is. Sometimes people, they got good intentions of either doing something or whatever, and it don't last very long. So I'm like, we'll just watch them. And so as I watched, I saw good things happening in their lives, and I saw good changes happening. That got me curious. I'm one of these kind of guys that holds out for a long time. So I'm watching them. And this one guy that led the Bible study where they'd accepted Christ, he used to come up to this little store I had. It had a little feed store. And his wife had a Bible study, so on that day he'd come up and he'd hang out with us and buy his feed for his rabbits and stuff. And oh my gosh, that was awful. I give him such a hard time. I'd cuss and swear twice as much when he was there. I'd try to trip him up in his theology. I just was horrible to him. And he just kept coming. And I kept seeing the changes in my friend's life. And he invited me to go to this Bible study. And I didn't want to go. And later on, down the road a ways, I finally agreed to go. And my wife got mad at me because she thought they were going to hit me over the head with a 10-pound Bible. And I said, well, I don't have to go back, you know. But I started going, and I was curious. And we had just this little baby, and I'm starting to wonder what life's all about. And anyway, believe it or not, well, my wife came to the Lord in maybe 6 months or something, or 3 months into the Bible study. I didn't. I just kept going, but I wouldn't make any commitment. And the leader said to me, he says, so what's holding you up from accepting Christ? And I said, because you've taught me that it's a commitment. And I'm not willing to commit because I got things I want to do in my life. I want to run my own life, in other words. And so time went on, and we've been going to Bible study for about a year. And one night I went to the Bible study, and I got conviction came. And I mean, it was heavy. And that night, I was like, it don't matter what it is anymore. I got to accept Christ. And I prayed and accepted the Lord that night and never looked back. I've never struggled with security. I just keep going ahead, you know, through thick or thin. I don't know why. I know so many people that have struggled with their security in the Lord. And I'm like, I think part of it, that the reason I haven't, is because I tried to do what the Lord, I knew what kind of commitment it was. I don't know how he taught us that in that Bible study. But it's once I made that commitment, I just went with it. And within 2 months of that time, we ended up moving over here to the farm up in Summit Valley. And the guy gave me a couple good pieces of advice. He said, you go find a church, a good church, and you stay there. And you don't be reading a bunch of books. He says, you just read the Word of God. He says, you can read those books later, you know. And I found that that was really good advice. And so here we are now, like 50 years later. And so I want to talk to you this morning about spiritual growth, but I want to start at the beginning. I tell you about my salvation experience because that's the first thing, right? You're not going to grow as a Christian if you haven't accepted Christ yet. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about that before we go too much further. But lost my place here. Yeah, so anyway, if you go on, I can't remember exactly where I stopped here, but we were talking about chapter 1, talking about the new birth and living hope and holy living. Skip down to church, verse 23, and it talks about being born again. And then, so in Acts, that's where we were at. So in Acts 2, if you look about verse 14, Peter stands up in the crowd there, and he preaches a sermon. And he gives them a little history first. And then he tells them about how Jesus came and died for sin. Then if you read the whole thing, which you'll need to do at home because we can't cover everything, but if you get down to about verse 37, he gets kind of done, and he told them, you know, the history and how Jesus came and died for their sin and stuff. And in verse 37, says, the crowd heard and were cut to the heart and said, what shall we do? You guys remember what Jesus told them? What did he say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sin. I don't know about you guys, but I don't hear a lot about repentance anymore. And I don't understand that. Because that's what Jesus told them to do. It was pretty plain. And then if you go on down through verses 39 there, it ended up like 3,000 people came to the Lord that day. Verse 42, it talks about they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and more. There's more there. So like if you read between verses 42 and 47, there's probably five or six things that he told what they were doing. Okay, they were getting together, they were doing Bible study, they were doing fellowship. There's two things that I know your church is doing, you know, and they were praying together, they were taking communion together. There was quite a few things there they were doing. It was like they were being discipled and taught. So I just want to go for a minute through some verses on salvation, because that's the start. And in Romans 3:23, I don't know. Another thing that has bothered me over the time that I've been a Christian, I used to teach some evangelism classes and stuff, and one of the questions I'd ask people is, have you ever shared the gospel with anybody? And I didn't get a very big response. And I had people that were like Christians for 20, 30, 40 years and said they'd never shared Jesus with anybody. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me, you know? I'm just like, that's what salvation is, what it's all about, you know? And I don't know. That really bothers me. And so I want to encourage you this morning to pick out some verses that you can share Jesus with other people. A lot of people are good at memorizing and stuff. I'm not very good at that, especially since I got older. But I got some real simple verses that I use. And I'm not saying use mine. There's lots of them you can use. But one of the ones I use is Romans 3:23. Who knows that one? Speak it out. Oh, I put him on the spot. Right. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I also use Romans 6:23. Who knows what that one is? Some of you kids probably know some of these. There we go, Jimmy. Right, eternal life. So the wages of sin, we all understand that when we go to work, we get paid something, right? So that's, you're getting wages for working. Well, in the same way, if we sin, we're getting wages for that, and it's death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The difference is, one you earn, the other one is given to you as a gift. And I used to use this little demonstration. I'd have a little gift box, just a box wrapped up, and I would reach out to them, to somebody like in a group like this, and I'd say, here's a gift. But whose gift is it? It's still God's gift, right? But when you take a hold of it, whose gift is it? It's your gift. And it's like, you've received the gift now. And I always thought that was a good little illustration. Because we need to... You can't do anything to work your way into heaven except to receive it. And so it's all about, what I'm explaining to you is about when we say believing or being born again, this is kind of breaking that down, you know. Because what I've found is it's so easy to say believe. But the devil believed. He believed there was a God. He believed there was a Jesus. But he had received it. And we can know the same way. We can know all about this stuff and maybe not have really accepted Christ as our Savior. And we're a small group here. I hope that all of us know the Lord. But let's be realistic. If you get a group of people together, there might be somebody that doesn't. So before we ever get started at what I was going to do today, I want us to make sure so that we can see for ourselves, have we really accepted Christ? Because I'll tell you what, I know tons of churches, I know tons of people in churches that go to church every Sunday, but that doesn't mean they know the Lord. And there's a lot of them that don't, I'm sorry to say. Acts 3:19, it says, repent, turn to God, so your sins may be wiped out. Another verse I use is John 1:12. It says, to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, born of God. That's when I like held that out. You take a hold of it. You received it. We're a child of God. Amazing. We have the right to become the child of God. No question about it. If we receive it, we're a child of God. Romans 10:9-13 says, confess. Yeah, let me just turn there. I'll get it messed up if I don't read it. Romans, what'd they say, 10? Romans 10:9-13, it says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, the same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's so cool. So this morning, as we kind of go on from here, I want us to look at our salvation. Did you really accept Christ? Or did you just say a few words? Did you have a changed heart? Where are you at right now? Because the next part, we experience salvation, and so many of us view our salvation as the end instead of the beginning. And our view is, okay, now I'm saved. I can just hang out, wait around till Jesus comes. That's not the kind of Christianity I see as I read the Bible. The Christianity I see as I read the Bible is they get saved, they get discipled, they start growing, and the Lord uses them. Now, not everybody's going to be a teacher or preacher or evangelist or whatever. There's, you know, all kinds of giftings that God uses us in. And like a lot of you today, out throwing sand, Mike, and I don't know if you had help out there or what, but there's lots of things in the church that are just as important as the preaching and teaching. What happened? Nothing? I thought I heard something with the mic. But anyway, it's important that we grow, and it's important that we take our part in the body of Christ, whatever that might be. So today I want us to talk about spiritual growth, and it's in 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3, and it goes like this. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that you by it may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tested, or now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So the first thing off is verse 1 gives us five things there that hinder spiritual growth. They are, one, malice. All malice it talks about. So what's malice? Intention or desire to do evil or ill will. Number 2, all guile. The practice of deceiving people. Number 3, hypocrisies. I think we all know what hypocrites are. I don't know about you guys, but before I accepted Christ, that's what I saw in the church, is a bunch of hypocrites. Because I'd see them go to church, and then I'd see them coming out of the tavern drunk, or they're chasing somebody's wife around, or some other stuff that they shouldn't be doing, and it gives Christianity a bad name. I live in a little community called Summit Valley, and it's a small area. It's not a town, really, but it's a small area. Everybody knows everybody. And so I've heard people tell me, I'll never go to that church because there's too many hypocrites. That's horrible. But my answer to that is, because it's true, we're not all perfect yet. We're learning and growing, hopefully. My answer to it is, don't let somebody else's walk hold you back. Because we still need Christ. We can't just say, oh, I'm not even going to check it out. I'm not going there. Or whatever they might say. Anyway, so Ephesians 4:22 through 31 talks more about this. Maybe I'll let you guys go. It'll talk more about that, okay? We can't do all the stuff, I guess, here. So Ephesians 4:22 through 31, if you happen to rewriting it down. Then in 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3, is an example of new believers, of believers, I should say, and it gives the example of a newborn baby and its mother. And you ladies probably understand that pretty good, but we had a lot of cattle years ago, and we had like 80 head, and so I can understand cows and calves, I guess. So when you think about a calf, how it craves milk, and the milk makes them grow really fast. And in its example that they used here was the baby and a mother, but he's talking about spiritual growth. You will grow up in your salvation. Peter's saying, read the word, listen to the word. That was what was preached to you. You will grow, you will mature. And I see the people in the Bible, like Paul and the different ones that wrote the Bible, they're always encouraging us to learn and to grow and get into the word and obey the word and stuff like that. So there should be that hunger and thirst like a baby calf has for the mother, and it should help us to go after it. So sometimes a baby calf might be really cold out, and they're shaking and they're cold, and all they want to do is lay there, and they're laying in a puddle of water or whatever, you know. And so you get them up and you get them dried off, and you got to kind of help them get going. You get them up there by the mother, and you're stuffing in his mouth, you know, so he'll drink, and all of a sudden he'll get a taste of it. And the minute they get a taste of it, they just go after him. And they're butting them, and they're really, you know, going after them. And they go right after it. So here's a scripture, Luke 6, verse 2. And it goes like this. I find it here. Right? Luke 6, verse 2. Oh, I must have made a mistake. Okay, so I'm not sure where that's went, but the verse I had is, blessed are you who hunger, you will be satisfied. The word will satisfy you if we have that thirst to go and look. Another one in Matthew 5, 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You know, God's word is satisfying. It brings peace. It brings joy. It helps us to grow. Helps us to mature, and we learn by it. Another verse, 1 Timothy 4:15, says to us, and I'm not going to read and turn to it, but be diligent for everyone, so everyone may see your progress. That's what I saw in my friends. I saw they were progressing. They weren't drinking anymore. They weren't doing all this stuff they used to do. Their mouths cleaned up. You know, all this stuff that's not so good. They were growing that spiritual progress. So we talked a little bit about spiritual thirst. And if you look in the book of Psalms, there are many examples in the book of Psalms about how people thirsted for God. I didn't write them all down, and I didn't. This study I thought was going to be really easy, that I was going to take these few verses, you know, that talks about growing and the scripture and stuff, and that'd be kind of it. Well, then as I was thinking and reading more, I was like, well, there's all these hindrances to us growing, and then how much do we really thirst? And I was running into stuff that was like, talking about spiritual thirst, spiritual hunger, what was the other? Spiritual ambition and stuff like that. And it just kept kind of blowing up on me and getting bigger and bigger, you know. And so anyway, but if you look at the book of Psalms, and if you got a study Bible, you can look them up. But it brings out, there are a lot of references in Psalms of God bringing satisfaction to those who are spiritual hungry and thirsty. There are many places in the Bible that show us we should have spiritual ambition. And some of those places are like 1 Corinthians 9:24, where it talks about running the race. And it says, run to win. It don't say, go out there and practice. Don't say, you know, you got to go into training, right? But when you go run the race, you run it to win. So I'm like, us Christians need to be running that race. We need to grow, we need to mature, we need to be discipled. And then we need to run that race. And I'm like, here with you, Mike, and the rest of you that were at the Bible study the other day, and I'm like, it'd be really cool if everybody was at the Bible study. Now, obviously, some of us work or whatever, and we can't all make it, but I want to encourage you today to grow. Grow in the Lord. Even if you have to do it at home alone and read the Bible and put it into practice in your life. But we're running a race. We need to run to win. In 1 Corinthians 14:12, it says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And I know we can get in a big controversy over spiritual gifts, but it tells us to desire the better gifts. But it says, eagerly desire them. Sometimes I want to slap myself alongside the head and tell myself, wake up. Christianity isn't sitting in church and waiting for Jesus to come. It's like being active. It's like doing what it says in there. It's a commitment. When he tells us to obey his word, we need to obey it. And anyway, Philippians 3:13-14 says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. He uses the word straining. That's working hard. That's pushing yourself. Young guys, live for Jesus. You're going to have all kinds of people try to get you to do all the wrong things. All us older people, we've been through it, we know. They're after you to do all the wrong stuff. And it's hard to say no. But follow Jesus. Live for him. Walk with him. It also goes on in that scripture, says, pressing towards the Lord is on another one here. 1 Timothy 2:15. Press towards the goal by correctly handling the word of truth. So we're commanded, encouraged, or told in the word to grow spiritually. Ephesians 4:15 tells us to grow into Christ. Okay? So he wants us to grow in Christ. Instead speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 tells us to grow in love. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as yours does for you, or ours does for you, sorry. So grow in Christ, grow in love. Hebrews 6:1, grow to perfection is the word it uses. Now don't get me wrong, we're not going to get perfect, okay? We're not going to be perfect, but we can be growing towards that. It says, therefore let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. He's talking about us growing, maturing in him. Go on. Okay? Salvation is a basis, it's a foundation, but we need to go on in the things of the Lord. We need to grow, not stay like the baby that just drinks milk. So grow, grow in perfection. 1 Peter 2:2 that we read talks about growing through the word. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. First Timothy 3. I do want to read this one to you. 3. 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. Where am I going here? I'm going the wrong way. 2 Timothy 3:16. Here we go. What verse is that? 15, okay. 3:16. I'm going to read 15 through 17. So it goes like this. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to, talking to Timothy, remember? Timothy was a young pastor, but he's talking about when he was little, he has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's what the Word of God will do for us. Do all those things. And it's part of learning. He'll rebuke us. He'll correct us, which isn't always fun. You kids probably know about getting corrected by your parents. It's not fun, right? But is it good for you? You probably don't think so, but it really is. We've all, as adults, have probably been corrected by the Lord before. It's not fun sometimes. Sometimes we go through some tough stuff. But if we'll learn the lessons, it'll be good. And it tells us a lot of things that the Word does there. One of the benefits of reading the Word is that it's food for our soul, which helps us grow. In 2 Peter 1, 5 and 6, it says, making every effort to add to your faith. And then it lists some good things. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness. Another one, 2 Peter 3:18 talks about grow in grace and knowledge. That verse says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Another verse talks about, it's 2 Corinthians 9:10, talks about growing in fruitfulness. And it's a little harder to understand that because they use an example of seeds and bread and some different stuff. But the last part, he talks about supplying an increase in your store, and you will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So those things there were, again, were, if I get find the beginning here, back on this paper probably. So grow in Christ, grow in love, grow in perfection, grow through the Word, grow in grace and knowledge and in fruitfulness. So I'd like you guys just to think about that. We want to sing this little song that we sang at first. If you guys would come back up and sing this song. I didn't focus very much on you know, growing in prayer. It's just too much. Like I said, it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I had to stop somewhere. It's already too long. But, yeah, so how do you want us to do it? We want to sing this song. Judy's going to come and We know Patty's, or Judy's sister, Patty. So now I'm calling her Patty. But if you'll come up, Judy and Teresa, and we're going to sing this little song. My wife's shaking her head, no. Why? Our throat's not so good. I can't sing this thing alone. Judy's going back there and abandoning me. But I really like this song. It's a kid's song. So before they start, I don't know if you guys can do this. You kids can do this, okay? So there's actions to this song. I didn't want to tell you that before. Most of us people are going to have, older people are going to have trouble with it. But when it talks about grow, 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 we start down here and we kind of go like this, grow, grow, grow. And when you shrink, 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 you kind of go down, 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 you know? All right? So let's stand up and just do the best you can. And if you can't stand up, that's fine too. So I realize some of us have problems with that. But you kids, we kind of expect you kids to do this, okay?
You ready?
Yep.
Reach our Bible, pray every day,
pray every day,
pray every day. Reach your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow.
And you'll grow, grow, grow.
And you'll grow, grow, grow.
Reach your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, forget to pray, forget to pray. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, 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 and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. All right, now we all got our exercise. You can sit down. I do that, and it's a little funny little kids thing, but I hope by doing something just a little different that it'll help us remember about spiritual growth, and it'll help you to kind of let's grow together. Let's go on with the Lord. There's another scripture, and where did it? I had it in here somewhere. It was about the scripture, and it's good. Some other scripture I want to read. If some of you are writing stuff down, so here's a couple other, two or three other scriptures that you could look at. Corinthians 3. First, I think that's 1 Corinthians. I didn't write that part down. I think it's 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 5, verses 12 through chapter 6, verse 3. And then Ephesians 3, 17 through 19 or 21 is a little more on the subject if you want to check it out. If you didn't get those, you can talk to me later. I can get them to you. So my understanding, we're going to do communion again, right? And so if the guys will come up, that we're going to help with that. And if I get to the spot here. So in Corinthians 11, it talks about that. There's other places, too, that we could use, but let's just stop and pray. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to remember what you've done for us, Lord. Help us to remember that time when we accepted you. Help us to remember that you gave your body on the cross for each of us, Lord. You shed your blood for each of us. Lord, I pray that that would be an inspiration to us to live for you and walk with you, Lord. It should fill us with praise and worship for you, for all you've done. And Lord, this morning, just as they get ready to pass this stuff out, Lord, the elements, we want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you've done, how much you've loved us, how much you care for us, how much you're beckoning us to experience life with you, Lord. So thank you for all you do. You are a great God. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we give ourselves to you, Lord. So help us to remember and never forget, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can pass those out if you would. If there's anyone here that has not accepted Christ, talk to me afterwards if you're interested. Talk to me afterwards or talk to one of your trusted friends about salvation. So I think sometimes we think we might be a Christian and maybe we really haven't accepted him because it is a commitment. It is... We don't become a Christian by showing up at church or just because we read the Bible or some of those things. It's an actual commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would draw you to do that. I mean, he speaks to each one of us. When I shared about myself, I was under conviction that night so hard that I couldn't leave that place when the Bible study was over. I didn't have guts enough to say nothing at first. My wife would say, well, we should go home. And I'm like, no, I want to stay a while, you know. But yet I wasn't telling them what was going on in my heart. But that's the best decision and the most important decision I ever made in my life. And I've never questioned his love for me. And as we take communion today, we can just remember what he's done for us and in us. And again, if you haven't made that kind of commitment, you need to, you should. His arms are open wide for each one of us. He wants us to come to him. And I would encourage you to do that. In fact, you can pray right now before we all take communion if you'd like. Just tell him you're sorry for your sins and you want him to come in. You know, the Holy Spirit comes in when we accept him. That you can ask him to just come into your life and help you, that you want to follow him and walk with him. It's not so much what we say, it's what happens in our heart. All right, so let's go ahead with the rest of this. It says, for I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we thank you for what you did, Lord, and we just want to take this together, committing ourselves to you and remembering, Lord, what you have done for us. Thank you, Jesus. Let's take the bread. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in the remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord, thank you. Thank you for shedding your blood for us. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to reach out to others, Lord, and help us to be ambassadors for you, Lord. Thank you for this juice that represents your blood. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. All right. Thank you. Did you have a song that you were going to sing? Okay, great. Thank you for our time together.